Thank you, Brother Strode. Appreciate that good song. Amen. Bless you, Sister Carrie, and let's keep these young people that are lost in our prayers for certain. I'd like to ask you, if you care to read along with me, to turn to the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. I want to read some scripture the Lord has placed upon my heart, and I have rejoiced in this week. I'm sure that this is scripture that you have read many times, and it's such the words that are spoken here are such a great comfort. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. This is the Apostle Paul having written to the church at Thessalonica. And he said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And I would like to talk about hope today, and I would like to use these words for a title: We Have Hope. The Hebrew writer spoke about hope, and we have this verse in the sixth chapter of Hebrews, in the 19th verse. He spoke about having hope as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And so I want to speak today to my brothers and my sisters in the Lord, to my fellow church members here today, about the fact that we have hope. And I want to go through some things and try to make, if I can, by the help of the Lord, try to make some key points that are found in these verses here that were written by the Apostle Paul. But I want to first define what hope is, because this is a word that in our everyday language we use this word and we hear this word, and sometimes we use it in a way that's different than what hope actually means in these passages that I have read here, where the Apostle Paul spoke about hope. And he spoke about, sadly enough, he spoke about those here that have no hope. But we have hope. Those of us that know the Lord, we possess this hope. And so sometimes we hear the word hope used in this way, I hope that this will happen or that will happen. And used in that way, it leaves room for doubt. You're hoping that something may happen. But the true meaning of hope is hope is without doubt. And it gives us anticipation of what will happen. And the Greek, in the original language, the Greek word elpis, defines hope. And if you look in most expository dictionaries, if you look in, for instance, Vine's expository dictionary, and you look at the word hope, and it defined in the original Greek in which it was written, it means favorable and confident expectation. Hope describes the happy anticipation of good, and it has to do with the unseen and the future. So we can see when we see statements such as these that I've shared with you, and when we see statements like what we find recorded in the first chapter of Titus, where Paul spoke about being in hope of eternal life, it's not a wish for it to happen. It's a great anticipation of what's ahead because that it has happened. And that's the proper meaning of hope. And that's what we have as the people of God, as those who know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. Now let's go back for a moment to these scriptures. The Apostle Paul did not want the people here at Thessalonica, and I've got to express thanks to God today for these verses. I give God thanks today for the Holy Spirit moving up on the heart of the Apostle Paul and inspiring him to write these scriptures, because these give us great detail of what we can expect, what we can anticipate. These tell us the great product of our hope. And so he said that he did not want these people at Thessalonica to be ignorant of those that have already died in the Lord. Now that's what he's talking about here. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Now, of course, those that he's referencing there are those that are lost, those that do not know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, do not know him as their Savior. They do not have this hope. But the Apostle Paul here told these people at Thessalonica, I do not want you to sorrow even as those that do not have hope. Now, he did not say that there would not be sorrow. And I know that when our loved ones leave this world, I know that there is sorrow. And the Apostle Paul here wasn't saying that there would not be sorrow, but he was saying that he did not want them to sorrow in the way that those sorrow that don't have any hope, because we have things to look forward to. We have things to anticipate, so we do not have to sorrow in the way that those that do not have this hope. Now, the Apostle Paul also in this, he did not only give them some knowledge in these writings concerning those which were already asleep in the Lord, but he also spoke about those who were still living even at the time of the Lord's coming, and how that there would be a great reunion there, how that we would all together meet the Lord in the air and be with him forever. And in the King James translation, as I've read before you today, the Apostle Paul said that this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. And what that word actually means there is precede. Shall not precede them which are asleep. And then he tells them how that the Lord will one day descend, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. He wasn't talking about two resurrections here years apart. He was talking about the fact that the dead in Christ would rise before those which are alive and remain would be caught up to be with the Lord. That they would rise before and we would be together taken to be with the Lord. And the last point I wanted to make before I go any further is the Apostle Paul, and he obviously had a great reason other than giving them knowledge in this, other than wanting them to not be ignorant concerning those who had passed from this life, but he also wrote these things to them that they might use them to give each other comfort. And that's how that he ended this short scripture reading that I've read before you today. He said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And I have found in my life that the things that the Apostle Paul wrote here concerning those who have already gone home to be with the Lord and what we can anticipate is indeed very comforting. And certainly we can use these things to comfort. We can use these scriptures to comfort ourselves. We can also use them to comfort one another. And so I want us to think about that, the fact that we have this great hope. We have something to look forward to. I really feel sorry for anybody who does not believe that there's anything that can be anticipated, that do not believe that there's anything after this life. The Apostle Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now we find in the Bible, we actually find a sect of Jewish people known as the Sadducees, and they actually were a religious group of people, if you could imagine such a thing as this. The Sadducees actually were a religious group of Jews that did not believe in the afterlife. I don't really have any idea what good their religious beliefs were to them at all, but that's what they were. They were a group of religious people that did not believe there was anything after this world. They did not believe, the Bible tells us, they did not believe there was a resurrection. They did not believe that there was any Holy Spirit. They did not believe that there was any spirit within them. Their belief essentially was that when it's over here, it's over for good. I'm glad that that's not true. I'm thankful that it's not that way. I'm thankful that we have hope, that we have favorable expectation, that we have joyous anticipation of things that await us beyond this veil of sorrow that we live in now. And we know that there is sorrow in the world. We know that there is sadness in the world, and it comes in many different situations and in many different forms, but the Bible tells us that there's coming a day when there will be no more sorrow. There won't be any sorrow, there won't be any pain, there won't be any death, for the former things will have passed away. I know that it's difficult for us here in this life. It's a difficult thing for us to deal with. And, you know, we have to lean on the Lord, and we have to trust in Him, and we have to, have His grace to be able, oftentimes, to be able to make it through these things. But we need to remember, and we need to, you know, do the best that we can to never lose sight of the fact that we have hope. We have something. I'll tell you what, the people of God have the greatest future that anybody ever had. Nobody has things to look forward to the way that those who have been saved by the grace of God. You know, there are people in the world, they strive to build for a future. They strive to lay things in store. People work hard and they try to save money and they try to build stability for a future in this world. And no matter how good that they do at that, it's still going to pass away one of these days. But we have a bright, eternal hope. We have something within us that gives us a great expectation of something that once we have passed beyond this realm of time, that we can enjoy something forever. You know, that's one of the great blessings of being saved, and one of the great blessings of having the knowledge within us that we are going to heaven, is because we have in that an enduring substance. The Bible says here, we have no continuing city, but we do seek one to come, don't we? We do seek that city to come whose builder and maker is God, where things there are eternal, where we will join the fellowship of the spirits of just men made perfect and be there forever in the presence of the Lord. And that's what we have to be excited about, and that's what we have to look forward to. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." You know, there's something that happened that just fascinates me. We read about it in the Gospel according to Matthew. I believe in the 17th chapter of Matthew, there is one of the places that recorded the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. When he took Peter, James, and John apart up to a high mountain and was transfigured before them, he was changed before them, he was glorified before them, and there were things that they saw that were just amazing. And one of those things was that those three men witnessed Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And these men had both been dead for many years. I mean, they had been gone from the earth for many years, but they witnessed these men on that mountain talking with Jesus. And I'll tell you what, the Bible says this: God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You know, those that have died in the Lord, those that have, as those here that the Apostle Paul spoke about, those who are already asleep, those who have left this life, that knew the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, I assure you today that they're very much alive. They're alive. They're living with the Lord. They're in His presence. They're in a better place than what we are right now. They've already gone to their eternal reward, and they're rejoicing, and they're worshiping, and they're praising the God that saved them. And that's exactly where Moses and Elijah had been. All that time, all those years that they had been gone from the earth, yet we see that they're still very much alive there, even on the mountain. They're talking with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a God that we serve. I'm thankful that, you know, the scenes that I have witnessed in this life, the scenes that you have witnessed in this life, and we can't get around them. And we can't avoid them. We have to face them because it's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. But the scenes that I have witnessed, families with sorrow, you know, families with broken hearts, families sad because of this thing that the Bible speaks about that we call death. That continues to invade the ranks of the human family. You know, the things that it does here, because I know that it can seem so final and it can seem cold in some ways, but we have people that we have lived with here and fellowshipped with and associated with, and we know that when death comes, that there is a time when we're not able to perhaps hold their hand the way that we once did or hug them the way that we once did. But, you know, I am so thankful today, and this has been the thought that has been upon my heart this week. I'm so glad that it does not end at that sad scene, aren't you? I'm so glad that we can look beyond that. That's what hope is. That's what hope does for us. It allows us to look ahead. It allows us to look beyond the sadness of things on earth and to look into the heavenly realm, to look into the eternal realm, and to look to the place that the Bible tells us about where there are more than can even be numbered that just are gathered around the throne and without end just worship and praise the Lord, the one that saved them from their sins. And I'm looking forward to going there. Are you looking forward to going there? Are you looking forward? Are you looking forward with great excitement and great anticipation of the time that we will be able to leave these things behind and go and be with the Lord? I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to the reunion that we're going to have as the old treasured hymn says, when all of God's singers get home. When we've all gathered there to be with the Lord. And so, we can take comfort, as Paul said, we can take comfort in this, and let's be certain that we have knowledge, as he said, concerning them which are asleep, that we don't ever sorrow in the fashion of those that do not have this hope. Jesus conquered death. I'm telling you, he conquered death. He took it on and he beat it. He took death on. He went head to head with death. He faced it and he defeated it. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. I'm telling you that when they came to, when they went there to put an end to the lives of those men that were on the cross, the Bible tells us that he was dead already. He died there on the cross. They took his body down and they laid it in the tomb. And on scheduled time, on the third day, just like he said he would, he rose from the grave with the keys, with authority over death and hell. I'm telling you, he beat it. He beat it. By his own power, he beat it. And he became the first fruits of them that slept. And I'll tell you what, in Jesus Christ, we have beat it too. We have the victory in Jesus. And one day, according to what I read in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, one day we're going to be able to look at death from the other side. We're going to be able to look at it from the other side of the grave and say, death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? I'll tell you what, we have overcome those that have been saved. We have overcome that which death is able to do, and it has no dominion, and it has no victory. Jesus is alive. His people are alive in him. He's given us eternal life, and we're going to dwell with him forever, and one day he's going to come, and even these the bodies of his beloved children that have been laid aside in death, he's going to come one day, and he's going to speak with such profound authority that the dead are going to rise. Yes, we are. Believe it? Well, I do. There shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. Jesus said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Paul said the Lord himself will one day descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then if we happen to be those of us that are here today, we could happen to be those that are alive and remaining at his coming, because we don't know when he's going to appear. But we do know this, that when he appears, we're going to be like him. We know that we're going to see him as he is. We know every eye will see him, even they which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. But even so, amen, the king is coming, friends. He's coming one day. He's coming with great power, and he's going to speak to the dead and raise them up. And then, when that happens, no matter what side of it we're on, then those who are alive and remaining will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and to be with him forever. So we have hope. We have hope. We have that which brings us confidence and brings us great anticipation. And I'm glad. I'm thankful that death has been defeated. And I'm thankful that we can look beyond what we see here. And we can look to a brighter day. And we can look to a reunion. Now, I can't tell you today, and I know you realize this, I can't tell you today everything that heaven will really hold for us. I can't explain to you today what it'll really be like. But I can tell you, we're going to have us a time. Yeah. I mean, we're going to have a good time in heaven. We're going to have a good time that will never have to end. We'll be together again. We'll see them again. Those that die in the Lord, we will see them again. So what Paul was saying here, that was the main point that he was making. We will see them again. It's not over. Thank God it's not over. Thank God it doesn't end here. Thank God there's something beyond this that we can embrace and we can hold on to. We can hold on to that until the time comes that we can be together again. Together again. There is hope. There is hope. And we have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, in what He has done, what He has done for us. And if you are here today and you've never been saved, I want you to understand this. You don't have this hope. You don't have it. And I would never want to give you any false hope. If you want hope, if you want true hope, you're going to have to seek the Lord, and you're going to have to be born again by the Spirit of God, or you're going to die without hope. And you'll be hopeless for eternity if you do. So, Brother Strode, I'd like for you to lead us in a song. I'll tell you what, if you don't mind, let's sing the Eastern Gate.